Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit for today, which means over the next 3 days, we're going to be talking about our featured work of literature, and that featured work of literature is Odysseus's Journey, which is entitled The Odyssey.
The Odyssey by Homer. Hmm. Yeah, it's very long. You definitely could call this a classic piece of literature, right?
Sure.
I think we all have to study this in school. To some extent, some people enjoy it a lot more than others. I was telling Tom before we started, one of my best friends actually wrote her master's thesis on this. So she loves this stuff. I think it can be interesting. We're going to come across some names and that are a little weird that you might not know how to pronounce. We had to look up some of them ourselves. So we're going to get started. We're going to read through day one, which actually talks about the plot. And then we'll be coming back to explain things.
Odysseus, one of the heroes of the Trojan War, has been away from his kingdom of Ithaca for 10 years. After 3 years wandering the Mediterranean Sea, he has spent the last 7 trapped on the island of the immortal nymph Calypso. Finally, however, the gods have agreed that he can return home to his family. He achieves this with the aid of a nation of seafarers to whom he relates his adventures. He says that after winning the Trojan War with his wooden horse trick, he set sail for Ithaca. However, several mishaps delayed his journey. Eventually, he and his men arrived on the island of the Cyclops Polyphemus. This one-eyed giant imprisoned them in his cave and began eating them one by one. Then Odysseus got the giant drunk and blinded him by thrusting a wooden stake into his eye. He and his companions escaped from the cave by tying themselves to sheep's bellies when Polyphemus let his sheep out in the morning. However, Polyphemus's father Poseidon, god of the sea, then cursed Odysseus to wander the sea for 10 years in revenge. Next, Odysseus encountered the sorceress Circe, who turned his men into pigs. Luckily, Odysseus had been warned and protected by the god Hermes, so he was able to force Circe to reverse her spell. With Circe's guidance, he visited the underworld, where he learned how to make amends with Poseidon, and also that his wife and son were suffering at home. More adventures followed until Odysseus washed up alone on Calypso's island, the rest of his crew having perished. After telling his tale, Odysseus finally returns home. There he finds many suitors competing to marry his wife Penelope. She has remained faithful, however. With the assistance of his son, 2 friends, and the goddess Athena, Odysseus kills the suitors. Ultimately, Athena restores peace in Ithaca, and the hero's journey finally ends.
Okay, guys, this is our literature unit. We're going to spend the next 3 days talking about Homer's The Odyssey. We're calling it an epic journey. An epic, the noun at least, is a long poem, and it's usually a poem from long ago, so it's an ancient tale. And long ago, it was told orally, which means they didn't write it down. They would tell the story and pass it along from generation to generation. This is Odysseus's epic journey. Epic can be used as an adjective to describe something that's really amazing. It also gives you that feeling that it took quite a while. So it was a long journey, but a lot of adventure and excitement took place.
Indeed. So let's talk about Odysseus's epic journey. Mm. And the title of the book is actually The Odyssey. Remember that. Okay, but Odysseus is the hero here. Odysseus, one of the heroes of the Trojan War, has been away from his kingdom of Ithaca for 10 years. You may have heard about the Trojan War. That's when they used the Trojan horse, basically, to invade the city. And the people were fooled and they won the war.
That's because because the soldiers had hidden inside the wooden horse.
Right.
Remember?
It's kind of amazing that the people fell for that old trick. What's this big wooden horse?
It was like a toy.
Horse, yeah. I was thinking it was a wooden rabbit, but I'm thinking of a movie with that one. But no, it was a wooden horse. And he was one of the heroes of the Trojan War. And he's been away from his kingdom of Ithaca for 10 years. Ithaca, I guess, was a kingdom at that time. Right now, it's an island off the western coast of Greece. And, of course, it's known as the legendary home of Odysseus. I think
it's also a city in upper New York State.
Yep.
It was very close to Rochester, where I lived, yeah.
Okay, so, of course, he's been away from his kingdom of Ithaca for 10 years for some reason. And after 3 years wandering the Mediterranean Sea, he has spent the last 7 trapped on the island of the immortal nymph Calypso. So he was wandering around the Mediterranean Sea for 3 years. That's the ocean that's south of Europe. It's around Italy and near Spain and Algeria and Libya. All those countries are next to the Mediterranean Sea. And so he was having fun, I guess, going for cruises and sailing around the Mediterranean. But then he ended up on this island where he was entrapped. It was kept there by this nymph by the name of Calypso. This nymph, a nymph, by the way, nymph, that's kind of hard to say, but this is kind of a spirit of nature. It's usually in the form of a beautiful woman, and she inhabits or lives in rivers, woods, or other locations. So she's immortal, of course, which means you live forever. She's immortal, and Calypso keeps him there for some reason. He is a prisoner on this island for 7 years.
Yeah, what kind of literature, literary characters we see these days that is immortal is the vampire. Vampires live forever. Once they're bitten by some other vampire, you know, they can live forever. Unless someone has a cross or puts a stake into their heart. But immortal, can live forever. Nymphs are also, this word is used today to describe a beautiful young woman who is very tempting, I think, to men in general. But it is a character in myths as well. And she's always quite beautiful and alluring, you could say. Finally, after being trapped for 7 years by Calypso and having wandered the Mediterranean Sea for 3 years. Finally, it says, however, the gods have agreed that Odysseus can return home to his family. We actually find out he's married and he's been gone all this time. I wonder what his wife has been thinking. He achieves this with the aid or help of a nation of seafarers. If you're a seafarer, you're a sailor. You just love to be on the sea. You love to be out there on a big boat or a ship traveling over the seas. So he has some help from these people to whom he relates his adventures. So it's through this tool, you could say, that he actually tells his epic journey. So we're trying to imagine in your mind, he's actually relating his adventures to the seafarers, and that's his Odyssey we're going to be talking about.
Right, to whom he relates his adventures. We could say he relates his adventures to them. He tells them about his adventures so they know about his story. Relate to, that can mean a couple of things. It means you tell somebody's stories. But also it kind of means that you found somebody who kind of understands you. I can relate to him. We have things in common. When I talk to him, we know what we're talking about. Whereas if we talk to other people, they have no idea what we're talking about. They have no clue. Or I can relate to that. I've had that experience. I understand that completely. But in this particular case, it talks about telling somebody a story to relating his adventures to those seafarers. And as you said, seafarers is just a fancy way of referring to sailors.
Yeah, it's interesting that this word relate used to just mean, telling somebody an experience that you'd had. But I think the modern interpretation that we hear more often is the one Tom was talking about. Oh, yeah, I can relate. You know, that can be a comment when someone is telling you about something that they've gone through or that they like or their boss, you know, maybe treated them poorly. Yeah, I can relate. My boss is like that, too. That's the more modern definition of the word. But here, yeah, you're just telling the story. He says in paragraph two that after winning the Trojan War with his wooden horse trick, he set sail for Ithaca. We often see these words put together to talk about the beginning or the launch of a journey. You set sail for a place, and he is setting sail or getting into that big boat or ship and taking off for Ithaca. What's the difference between a boat and a ship? A boat is smaller, a ship is bigger.
Indeed, so he began his journey for Ithaca. However, several mishaps delayed his journey. So in this sentence, we have the word mishap, which means it's basically something unlucky that happened to you.
Yeah.
Yep, an unlucky accident, lots of mishaps. You might have had lots of mishaps when you were trying to drive down the east coast of Taiwan. You got a flat tire, your engine overheated, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe you fell off your scooter and broke your leg. That's a mishap.
Indeed. So in this particular case, he had lots of unfortunate accidents, lots of mishaps that delayed his journey. He couldn't get back to Ithaca as soon as he wanted. Eventually, he and his men arrived on the island of the Cyclops Polyphemus. Okay, the Cyclops, okay? That's a mythical creature that's really big. I think it's a big giant.
Huge.
With only one eye.
Yeah. Yeah, in the center of his head, he's got one eye. Nowadays, we refer to that giant, that mythical creature, as a Cyclops. So sometimes in other stories, we'll have Cyclops appear. But this one, his name is Polyphemus, and he ends up on this island where they've got the one-eyed giant. Now, this one-eyed giant imprisons them. Remember, he's sailing with other people. If you're in prison, you're put into prison by other people. So imprison is the verb. So he's in prison at this point, and they begin eating the prisoners one by one. Ugh. So this one-eyed giant imprisoned them in his cave and began eating them. So you don't want to spend too much time around Cyclops because, obviously, they have a taste for human flesh, or at least for the flesh of gods. So then Odysseus got the giant drunk, gave him a lot to drink. He got him drunk and blinded him by thrusting a wooden stake into his eye.
Ooh,
sounds a
that
little
must have hurt.
Little bit like the vampire story, except we go for the eye and not the heart here.
Right.
If you thrust something, you use a lot of force and you push forward. So a lot of times we talk about someone being very aggressive, you know, thrusting entrepreneurs. But here it's just taking your hand and having some sort of weapon in your hand and using a lot of violent force to push forward. So that poor Cyclops is now blind and drunk.
My goodness, what a terrible thing to do to the Cyclops.
He deserves it.
Yeah, what the heck? He's eating those people one by one, so he definitely deserved to have a wooden stake thrusted into his eye. I think that's a good point to take a little bit of a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元的第一天课程。今天的文章介绍是奠定西方文学基础的史诗作品《Odyssey》，中文名称为《奥德赛》。首先，我们看到文章标题《Odysseus's Epic Journey》。Epic 在标题中做形容词用，指漫长而艰难的，或是史诗的。例如The landing of Apollo 11 on the moon was an epic achievement of space technology. 阿波罗11号登陆月球是一项伟大的太空科技成就。Epic 也可以做名词用，可以指史诗、史诗般的伟大作品，或史诗般的伟大事迹。文章的第一段提到特洛伊战争的英雄之一 Odysseus 已经离开他的王国很多年了。我们看到第一段第二句的后半部分。He has spent the last seven trapped on the island of the immortal nymph Calypso. 他后来有七年则是被困在永生仙女卡吕普索的岛上。形容词 immortal 是指不朽的、永生的。这个字也可以做名词用，意思是不朽的人物。例如 Shakespeare is one of the immortals in literary history. 莎士比亚是文学史上的不朽人物之一。此字的反义词为 mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L, 可做名词用，指凡人的、会死亡的，也可做形容词用，指平凡的人、普通人。另外 mortality 则是指死亡数、死亡率。 mortality, M-O-R-T-A-L-I-T-Y。 例如 The mortality rate of those suffering from lung cancer has been increasing in recent years. 近年来罹患肺癌者的死亡率在上升。文章的第二段提到 Odysseus 述说着在他返家的回航中所遇到的一些灾难，例如他在抵达波利菲莫斯的岛屿时就遇到了独眼巨人。 This one-eyed giant imprisoned them in his cave and began eating them one by one. 这个独眼巨人把他们囚禁在他的洞穴里，并开始一个接一个吃掉他们。本句用了一个复合形容词 one-eyed, 独眼的。这个复合形容词的结构就是形容词 hyphen, 然后接身体部位名词，最后在身体部位名词后面加上 ed, 例如短发的就是 short-haired, 长腿的就是 long-legged.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
And now our lesson is going to resume. So remember where we left off.
Okay.
Odysseus, got away from Calypso. He was allowed to return to Ithaca, but he had several mishaps on his way. He got captured by the Cyclops Polyphemus, and that Cyclops, that monster, began eating his men one by one. Odysseus got him drunk. Here, have some ouzo, you know, have some wine here, you know, have a good time. And he was able to take advantage of the Cyclops and thrust a wooden stake into his eye. And he and his companions escaped from the cave by tying themselves to sheep's bellies when Polyphemus let his sheep out in the morning. So that's how they escaped. Very clever there. Very ingenious. Tying themselves to the bellies of sheep. As you know, sheep have a lot of wool, and the wool probably grew out far enough so that it would actually cover the sight of the soldiers tied to the bellies of the sheep. So the Cyclops is just one big, dumb giant. He didn't notice that, so they were able to escape.
I think it's a pretty good disguise if you think about it. Yeah, so I wouldn't think about that myself, but that's how they got away. So they tied themselves, so they disguised their bodies using the sheep's fur, or is it, do we call it fur? Sheep's
wool?
Fur?
Wool? Fleece, maybe?
Yeah, fleece. We'll often talk about the sheep's fleece. Well, however, it says, Polyphemus' father, who is Poseidon. Poseidon is the god of the sea. We're talking, of course, about all these mythical gods. Then cursed Odysseus to wander the sea for 10 years in revenge. If you curse someone, you place a curse on them. And your curse can be different things. Maybe you curse someone to turn into a frog. We've heard of that curse before, a prince turning into a frog and then needing a princess to kiss him to turn him back. Well, his father, which I think is horrible, his own father cursed him, and he had to wander the sea for 10 years in revenge.
That's horrible. My goodness, this guy just can't seem to get back home. Well, next, Odysseus encountered the sorceress Circe, who turned his men into pigs. Here we have the word sorceress. That's the female equivalent of a sorcerer, which is somebody who can do magic. Basically, it's the same thing as a witch.
Wizard, witch.
There you go. And her name is Circe. She turned all the men into pigs.
Ooh.
I guess because she wanted some bacon or something like that. But luckily, Odysseus had been warned and protected by the god Hermes. Okay, so Odysseus, I guess he knew that his men were going to be turned into pigs, but he himself didn't have to be turned into a pig because Hermes, I guess he's the messenger of the gods, he warned him, hey, watch out for Circe. She's going to turn your men into pigs, but, kind of hide yourself or something before she gets to you. That way you won't have to be turned into pigs. You'll be protected. The god Hermes protected him, and he was able to force Circe to reverse her spell. To reverse for a car means to go backwards, but to reverse means to do the opposite of what you did before. So she cast a spell on those men, turning them to pigs, and if the spell was reversed, well, that means the men were changed from pigs back to men again.
Well, with Circe's guidance, he visited the underworld. The underworld, in mythology at least, is where the dead people live. And it was imagined to be under the earth. So the underworld. Nowadays, the modern interpretation or definition of the underworld is the world of organized crime, or heishouhui, as you guys like to talk about. He learned there to make amends. If you make amends with somebody, you've done something wrong, and so you try to make it better by apologizing or maybe fixing the thing that you did wrong. So if you make amends with your father, he tried to make it up to his dad because his dad, of course, was mad at him. And Poseidon, remember, is his father. And also, he found out that his wife and son were suffering at home. Remember, he's been on the road wandering for 10 years. And so his son and wife have been waiting for him all this time. If I were the wife, I would probably think he'd just been killed, having been gone so long. So more adventures followed until Odysseus washed up alone on Calypso's island, the rest of his crew having perished. Remember, he set sail with a bunch of other sailors. Those guys are all dead. If you perish, you die. So you don't want to perish in any story because that means you didn't make it out alive. To wash up ashore just means you probably had a shipwreck and, you know, you were tossed out of the boat at some point and your body just kind of came in with a wave. You were washed up ashore. And he was alone because the rest, his crew here is a noun that means a group of people working together. So he was washed up alone because his friends had all died or perished.
Perished also means to die in a more violent way, like in a storm or something. I could say that 50 sailors perished in the storm. Dying, you can die peacefully in your sleep or something, but perish usually means it's something violent.
True, or a natural disaster, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Okay, so after telling his tale, this is the next paragraph now. After telling his tale, Odysseus finally returns home. So he's told this tale, and they all know about it, and he gets back home, and there he finds many suitors competing to marry his wife, Penelope. So, yes, indeed, his wife is a real hottie, and he's gotten back home, and he finds out that lots of men there are interested in her. That's what a suitor is, somebody who is pursuing a woman because they want her to be his girlfriend or his wife or something.
It's kind of an old-fashioned word that you find a lot in literature, classic literature.
Yeah, we don't really use it in modern usage.
I would never say, like my boyfriend, oh, he's a suitor. He's my suitor. Yeah, but it is a very important word to learn because in classical English literature, we use it quite often.
Oh, we do indeed. Mm. So they're all competing to marry his wife, Penelope, and she has remained faithful, however. If you're faithful in this particular sense, that means she has not had anything to do with other men while he has been gone. She's been faithful to him, and you can use this for men as well. He was faithful to her as he was living overseas, although I don't really know because it said he was wandering the Mediterranean for 3 years. Maybe he had a lover in every port or something like that. We don't really know, but hopefully he was faithful to her as well.
I doubt it. But if she, of course, being the female, is the stronger of the two. She's faithful, however, so she didn't have any little affairs with all those handsome suitors. So with the assistance or help of his son, two friends, and the goddess Athena, he had quite a crew with him helping him. He went about trying to kill all the suitors for his wife, Penelope. I guess he got a little jealous and said, you know, you're not supposed to be trying to flirt with my wife. This will be the end of you. He sounds kind of violent himself.
Yeah, he could have just said, hey, I'm back. You guys go away or I'll kill you. Okay, he could have let bygones be bygones. But no, he killed them. And ultimately, or in the end, Athena restores peace in Ithaca and the hero's journey finally ends. So there's Athena. In the end, or ultimately, she restores peace. She returns peace back to Ithaca. It's now a nice, peaceful place. No more violence. And his journey finally ends. And that's the end of the story. And they all lived happily ever after.
Oh, isn't that nice? We're going to listen just for a few minutes to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
在逃离独眼巨人后 ,Odysseus 并没有因此顺利返家。我们看到第二段的最后一句 However, Polyphemus' father Poseidon, god of the sea, then cursed Odysseus to wander the sea for 10 years in revenge. 不过之后波利菲莫斯的父亲海神波塞顿为了复仇而诅咒奥德修斯在海上漂流10年。动词 curse 有诅咒、咒骂的意思。Curse somebody for doing something 就是指因什么事而咒骂某人。例如 Susan cursed herself for falling for John's trick 苏珊骂自己上了约翰的当 Curse 也可以当名词用 Under a curse 就是指受到诅咒例如 Paul encountered so many mishaps that he thought he was under a curse 保罗遭遇许多灾难他认为他被诅咒了 Put a curse on somebody or something 就是指对什么施咒例如 The witch put a curse on the prince and he was transformed into a frog. 女巫对王子施咒,她变成了一只青蛙。我们接着看到第三段的第一句。Next, Odysseus encountered the sorceress Circe, who turned his men into pigs. 接下来,奥德修斯遇到女巫克尔克,她把她的部下都变成猪。此句的关系代名词 who 前面要加逗号。这是冠带的非限定用法，用在先行词有独一无二性或非常明确，尤其是专有名词。因此，在写作时，如果用关系子句修饰自己的父母时，记得要在冠带前面加上逗号。例如 ,my father, 逗号 ,who likes to jog every morning, 逗号 ,is very healthy. 这句的 who 前面如果没加逗号的话，会变成你有很多父亲，你在讲的是其中一个喜欢慢跑的父亲。文中的最后一段提到 Odysseus 在说完故事后，返回他的王国，并发现很多人在追求他的妻子。我们看到这一段的第三句 She has remained faithful, however. 然而，他一直对他保持忠诚。形容词 faithful 意思是忠诚的、忠贞的。Be faithful to somebody 就是指对某人忠诚。例如 ,The couple promised to be faithful to each other as part of their marriage vows. 这对夫妻在作为他们结婚誓词的一部分中承诺对彼此忠诚。Faith, F-A-I-T-H, 是 faithful 的名词有信任、信仰的意思。Have faith in somebody or something 就是指对什么有信心。例如Joe is an experienced doctor, so his patients have faith in him. 乔是个有经验的医生,所以他的病人对他有信心。以上就是今天的讲解,谢谢大家收听。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody, but please join us again next time when we continue to talk about the Odyssey. Please join us then. I know you're looking forward to it. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie. Bye.
Bye.